I said amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you. I thank you right now. For our eye has not seen, our ears have not even heard. It's not even entered our hearts, our imaginations, the things that you have already prepared for us today. But your word says, but you reveal them to us by your spirit. Father God, I pray that prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, that we would receive, that there'd be upon this house today the anointing of revelation, the anointing of understanding and wisdom, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that their eyes would be opened so that we would know. Let no person under the sound of my voice walk away today the way we walked in today. But every person, regardless of where we are in our journey, wherever we are at in our walk with you, our level of faith, our level of understanding, touch the minds, the hearts of your people. Let our ears be open to hear, our eyes open to see, and our hearts receptive, so that we can turn to you in any area of our lives according to your word. Father God, I thank you, and I repent for us corporately, for any area of our lives that we have left unattained, left alone, left as it has been cemented in concrete within the context of our understanding and perception, instead of turning it over to you. And so open our hearts, open our eyes, so that we can receive from heaven what you and you alone have prepared for us on this side of eternity. And we give you praise. And everyone shouted.
Amen.
And everyone shouted even louder.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you would. I had the Lord drop something in my heart as I was coming in here. So media team, stick with me for a little bit and we'll catch possibly to our notes later. But in the context, something that was mentioned before, last week, the Lord dropped in my heart. There was a time, Luke's gospel tells us, that Jesus saw a funeral procession. It was as he was going into the city of Nain. And there was a funeral procession that was happening. If you've ever been to a funeral, that's not a happy place. Unless they know where they're going. Then you have the grief of the loss, but the celebration of the destination. Amen. The loss is more on our side than their side. But still, there's the grief that we deal with. And on this particular situation, there was a lot of people in that procession. And the Bible says that as Jesus watched, it was a son of a widow woman. It was the only child of a widow woman. And Jesus began to have compassion and move toward the situation. Now, if based on what you deal with in life and experience in life, I think that changes our perspective. Have you ever had somebody, you saw something, they saw something, and perspective changed the outcome of the interpretation of what just happened?
Right.
Someone says, oh, this happened. You're like, no, I was there. This is what happened. Someone says, no, I was there. And there's a filtering system in all of our lives. It's just a human natural thing. It is just a natural, ordinary thing. That's why many different interpretations can be described at the same event, because we have these filters that change our perspective. Because what we have been exposed to, what we have learned, what we've experienced, what we have gone through, has a way of slanting on what we see and what we hear. Oh, I know what they were saying. And we fill in the gaps. And sometimes we fill in the gaps with pain. We fill in the gaps with hurt. We fill in the gaps with disappointment. We fill in the gaps with loss. And this woman had to be in that similar situation because, one, she was a widow, which means she already had experienced death, the loss of someone close to her. And she was filling in the gaps of why me probably. Have you ever been in that mode in your life? Why me, God? Okay, I've been hit once, now I'm getting hit again. Why me? Can't you pick on my neighbor a little? Come on, somebody said amen. Can't you pick on some? And it's not God that's doing it. For John 10:10 said, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And yet as Jesus is watching, he sees this woman who is a widow, which means she's already had a loss. What we have to understand is that the devil does not play fair. And if you think that a prior loss will keep you from a future challenge, you misunderstand. Because the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's not a matter of, oh God, I've already taken a loss. I think I paid my dues. I don't have to worry about anything else. It's like being struck with lightning. Oh, I already got struck once. I shouldn't get struck twice. I remember years ago on a Bible study we had on Wednesday night at the other location, and someone gave their testimony, and they talked about being struck by lightning twice. And it just inadvertently spoke up and said, why didn't you move? You know what I mean? You would think the first time. But this mentality that we fill in and think, oh, if I'm going through a hard time, whoo, I made it through, and all of a sudden I don't have to worry about that anymore, and hopefully the devil will leave me alone. But the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't have mercy. God has mercy. And we sit there and think, God, why have you allowed this? But you have to understand, God didn't allow anything, because he created a system that he established when he created the earth and put Adam in charge of it and said, let us make man. Let's put him in charge. Let's give him dominion, which means he has the authority, the kingdom right to exercise the kingdom of God on the earth. Now, Adam, we know, fell. He subjected that to the devil and gave him the spiritual authority, although he didn't have the natural authority. Because the natural authority still belonged to man. But the enemy, who is a thief, thieves don't operate by the understandable standards that everybody else should be accommodating. You would think, why did that person break into my house? That's not right. There's laws. Yeah, there is laws, but a thief doesn't obey the laws unless someone is willing to enforce the laws that have been established. Stay with me. And so God has created the system that he created for man. Man has, as an earthly flesh, the humanity, physical body that we have, gives us the natural dominion on this earth, but we still have to obtain the spiritual authority to exercise that dominion, because Adam gave that side of it to the devil. That's why at the resurrection, after the resurrection, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now you go in my name. When we go in his name, that means we go as his representative. So now we carry two sides of this coin. We don't just have one side, we have two sides. You have to understand the importance of that, because even when Jesus was ministering on the earth, a person that was demon-possessed, and the demon began to scream out and said, we know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come before the time to torment us? What the demon was doing, and it was not being evangelistic in promoting who Jesus is. It wasn't, well, oh, we know who you are. This is Jesus, everybody. Look, listen to him. No, that's not the point of what he was saying. The point and the accusation of the enemy was, I recognize, I know who you are. You are the one with the final spiritual authority. Why are you here before the time? You have come before the time appointed by God. Matthew 24, only the Father knows. You have come before the appointed time. Why have you come before the time? I recognize your spiritual authority. I recognize who you are in the realm of God. You are the Son of God, the Son of Man. Why have you come? But see, what the demon didn't understand is that Jesus came through a virgin birth. So not only did he recognize his spiritual authority, but he had a natural earth suit called this body, which gave him physical authority. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so with physical authority, he was able to rise up and exercise the spiritual authority with the doorway of the physical man and bring the subjection, the kingdom of God on this earth. You say, why doesn't God do anything? He did. He created you. And Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now you go. That's why Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 18:18, I give you the keys of what? The kingdom of God. Now, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose will be loosed on heaven, which means what you permit is permitted, and what you say no way to, not allowed, will not be allowed in the realm of God, in the realm of the spirit, in the spiritual realm. And what you have to understand and we have to grasp is that the spiritual realm, the realm of God, and the dimension of the spirit is greater than the dimension of this three-dimensional world. Amen. Yeah. Why do I say that? Because who's first? God created this three-dimensional world. Where'd it come from? It come from God. What is God? God is a spirit. So from God, this dimensional world that we call real, there's something greater than that, and there's something greater in authority of that, and that's why we can learn to exercise the authority of God, the kingdom of God, over the kingdom of this world. Jesus said, when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And so the reality is that we can, as we develop in the Word of God, as we grow in our faith, as we understand, and some of this might seem foreign to you, put it on the back burner and challenge it and study it on your own time. Because it's not my purpose to convince you, it's my purpose to prepare a dinner for you and let you come and eat as much as you want. And we tell you to challenge it during the week by studying the Word of God because we want you to grow. But there is a place where the authority of God can be overriding any and every area of your life, even the natural. Amen. Even the natural. Amen. How natural? How much more natural can you get when someone who's already dead comes back to life? Come on. But to that woman, she was in grief because she had already been there before. And the devil will use your past hurts and problems to make you vulnerable for his future attacks. So that when he attacks again, you don't want to rise up because the devil will tell you, you've been here before, just accept it. It's a shame. It shouldn't happen to you. Just embrace it. Just accept it. And that's a lie of the devil. Because I want to free you from the past attacks of the enemy to tell you that you have to accept the future attacks of the enemy, that although things didn't change before, doesn't mean that you don't have a right to change the future. Are you listening to me? Or change the present problem. Don't let the past problems of the enemy dictate how you're going to fight the next battle that comes your way. Amen. Thank you for the seven people that agree. The rest of you are like, I'm not too sure. I'm just not too sure. It is so easy to buy into the idea that the enemy tries to sell us, the what we have been exposed to, the way things are, have to stay the way they are. She was a woman who had been exposed to losing someone she loved, and instead of taking that casket to Jesus, she was taking that casket to the grave. She was in a place of why me and oh God and oh, I can't believe this has happened to me, because that's a tactic of the enemy to get us to feel sorry for ourselves. And sympathy is a dangerous drug. Sympathy, it makes you feel like it's calming you and numbing you and helping you get through it, but it's not strengthening you. It's only putting you deeper into the pit. We have to come and get into the Word of God and bring ourselves and the situation to the Word. Amen. Bring ourselves to the Word. We have to get into the pages of this Word, because what we need is we need faith, because we receive everything, Hebrews 6:12, by faith and patience. Faith comes by hearing the Word, Romans 10:17. And we got to bring that situation before the Word, and we got to study that Word and hear the Word so that we can get understanding from this Word. And as we get understanding, it gives light, Psalms 119. And as that light comes, it causes us to reposition ourselves, Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord. And so what do we have to do? That woman should have. Now, many times there'll be times that God, and in his infinite wisdom, he knows the situation, and he'll step into the situation. But I want to leave this idea with you that we don't have to just wait on God to step into our situation. If the woman understood what was going on, she could have saved herself a lot of grief. And she could have, instead of hoping that somebody will step into the situation, she could have dragged that casket to the one who could solve the situation. What areas are in our life that we have lost hope? What areas in our life, maybe it's your career and you've tried three businesses and they keep failing, and you know God's told you to start a business and you're going to be successful and prosperous, but every time you start one, it fails and you're just struggling saying, God, I guess it's not for me. Maybe it's the healing of someone in your family. Maybe it's a restoration of a marriage. Maybe it is the peace of God that's in your mind, whatever it might be. And if we're not careful, we'll buy into the lie of the enemy that because we use our past experiences to validate our position, and you say, why don't you trust God? Why don't you believe God? Oh, you know, I've been here before. Maybe you have, but maybe before doesn't have to dictate today. I've been here before. Yeah. All Jesus had to do was touch that casket.
Yes, yes.
All we need to do is get to the Word and see the presence of God, because the finger of God represents the Holy Spirit, amen. The presence of God. For Jesus cast out a demon, and they said, you are doing that by demonic powers. And Jesus said, listen, he went into a whole dissertation about a house divided cannot stand. But he said, if I cast out this demon, by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is at hand. Many people are waiting for the kingdom of God when they get to heaven. And praise God, when you get to heaven, you can jump if you cannot jump today. When you get to heaven, you can run if you can't run today. When you get to heaven, you can shout if you don't have any voice to shout today. When you get to heaven, you're going to be rich if you are struggling financially, you're poor today. When you get to heaven, you're a smile and if you can't smile today. When you get to heaven, you're going to have peace that explodes beyond your understanding if you're dealing with oppression and depression today. I'm telling you, everything is available in heaven. But Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which means that I don't have to wait till I get there. I can bring there to here. I can bring there to here. I need to bring there to here. I need to bring the healing is available to me in heaven into this earth today. I'm talking to somebody. I need the provision of Jehovah Jireh that I'll experience in heaven. I need to bring there into here today. I need to bring in that restoration that's there into here today. I need to bring the peace of God that is there into here today. I need to bring the joy of the Holy Ghost that's there into here today. I need to bring the life of God that is there for me into here for me today. Because the Bible tells us that we can be an aroma of the goodness of God wherever we go, which means that when I'm bringing what is there into here for me today, and you begin to exercise it and receive it by faith, and from the natural, you can say, "I don't deserve it. I can't obtain it. It won't work for me." Of course it won't work in your natural ability. That's why it's by grace through faith that everything in the covenant of salvation is available and accessible to you. That's why you have to do it by faith. If it was only by what you could do, you would need no faith. If it was all about what you could achieve, you would need no faith. If it was anything that was available within your skill set, your neighbors would say, "Oh yeah, they were just gifted with that." But when you begin to live a life, I'm talking to somebody now, and when you begin to live a life that's beyond your very best, that your neighbors will be upset about, that your family can't figure out, that people that know you say, how did they get that way? Why are they so happy? Why is that working out for them? I know where they came from. And they'll try to remind you, "You shouldn't be that happy. I know we used to party together. I know the stuff you used to do." You can say, "That's no longer me. That's somebody else." Because the Bible says, "Behold, all things are new." The Bible says that the blood of Jesus will purge your evil conscience of dead works so that you can serve the living God. That means when someone accuses you, when someone reminds you of what you did in the past that was a sin and terrible, you can say, "No, I don't remember that," because the blood, someone shot the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus has cut your very remembrance. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? I'll tell you, Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You say, "But Pastor, I haven't been walking after the Spirit. I was sinning last week." Well, then you need to get into 1 John 1:9, and it says, "Whosoever, if you confess your sins and repent of them, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Am I talking to somebody today? I don't know what's holding you back. I guess the story of this moment is the door has been opened, the tomb has been removed, the grave has been opened. Get ready to walk out of it by faith. You don't have to be bound by fear. You don't have to be tormented by the enemy. You don't have to be bound by drugs and alcohol. You don't have to be bound by pornography. You can get your thoughts lined up with the Word of God and begin to experience the purity, the freedom, the joy, the strength, the life of God in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, today in a mighty way. If you believe that, give him a shout. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is calling people out today like he called Lazarus out. I am assigned to remove the stone so you can hear the word. And he's calling you out today. Come out of that sickness. Come out of that depression. Come out of that oppression. Come out of that torment. Come out of that. The tactic of the enemy has been defeated. For no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is your right, your heritage, your righteousness is of God, saith the Lord. What am I saying? Jesus said it this way: "For whom the Son has set free is free indeed." Shout out free! Shout out free! Shout out free! Hallelujah! it. Come on, give him a lot of praise if you believe that. Hallelujah. I call you free. I call you free from every band that would try to blind your mind, because the enemy tries to blind the minds of people lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. That's just not salvation. That's the context of everything salvation has. And so the enemy will tell you healing's no longer for today. The enemy will tell you God wants you poor because he gets glory from that. The enemy will tell you it's okay. This is just your lot in life. This is the card that's been dealt. You just have to deal with it. I'm telling you, we are going to deal with it today, but not by might nor by power, but by the spirit of the living God. Why? Because God has not only raised Jesus from the dead, but he has elevated him above every name that is a name. He has moved him far above all principality and power. And the problem we deal with is we're looking for life in the area of death, because we are looking down instead of looking up. We are looking to ourselves instead of looking to him. We are asking our feelings what we feel. We are asking our bodies how we're doing. We're asking our bank account how blessed we are. But I'm telling you, get your eyes off the natural and get your eyes unto Jesus. Looking unto him, the author and the finisher. He's got it done already. Are you ready to receive it? If that's you, take the next 30 seconds and give him a praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm going to drag that dead casket to my Jesus, and I'm going to say, look here, this is what the enemy's doing. What do you say about that? What are you going to do about that? I'm not trying to antagonize Jesus. I'm not trying to intimidate him. I'm not trying to attack him, but I need to know what he says about that, because at the end of the day, the question that must be answered is not how you feel, but what does he say about that? If he says you are healed of the Lord, then you rise up, even if pain is trying to generate into your brain. You can say, pain, God, get out of here, shut up, be quiet, because the word of God says, I'm the healed of the Lord. 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 When the debt collectors call it and say, where's the car? The devil will tell you, you've blown it now. You ought to rise up and say, I curse and bind lack, because the Bible says, I am the head and not the tail. I am above always. Why? You are sending the word, Isaiah 55. Do you not hear me? That the word of God says in Isaiah 55, verse 9, that my ways are not like your ways. We quote verse 11 a lot, but sometimes we got to back up to get a bigger picture. Verse 9, my ways are not your ways. Come on, parents. Have you ever tried to work with your kids and they didn't understand that? Maybe you're trying to teach them how to drive. Maybe you're trying to teach them how to tie their shoe, and they're trying to do it all different ways. And you're like, that's not the best way. That's not the best way. I might let you do it a little bit that way for a little bit of time, but I want you to grow into this, because I have a better way. I have a better way of fixing that. Then maybe you're trying to teach them how to cook and they make a mess of it, and you smile because you love them. And you say, but if you stick with me, if you watch what I'm doing, if you hear what I'm saying, if you stay close to me, not just one time, but many times, I'm going to show you how I do it. And if you do what I'm doing, if you say what I'm saying, if you see it the way I see it, when it gets done, you might not know in the process, but when the food comes out and you begin to eat it, you will know that you've done it right. Are you listening to me? God said, my ways are not like your ways, neither are my thoughts like your thoughts. Verse 10, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Then he goes into verse 10. Let me tell you what it means. And he says, verse 10, as rain and snow comes from heaven and waters the earth and makes it produce. That means when rain and snow come, like we had rain last night, help us, Jesus. When rain comes, you know what it does? It begins to water the earth. And the seed that's in the earth, it makes it produce. It, what does it do? It says, I'm activating what it's been designed in you. You say, what's that got to do with that? You have to understand. The Bible, oh my God, help me, Jesus. The Bible tells us that you can't live in a life of sin because his nature is in you. It doesn't mean you won't sin. That's the carnality you're growing out of it. That's why you have to repent and ask God to forgive you. But when you get saved, he put his nature in you. Another translation says, he put his DNA on the inside of you. I got Jesus in my heart. You do. It's the DNA of God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. How's that possible, God? How's that possible, Pastor? Because God is infinite without measure. He is. But you have to ask yourself, how many trees are in one apple seed? You can't hold one tree, but you can hold a seed that produces many trees. When you begin to hold that, well, you could have 20 seeds in that hand. You could have more trees than you can count out of those seeds, and you're holding them in your hand. The DNA of God, the potential of God is on the inside of you. The seed of God. That's what Matthew 13 talks about. The word of God being the seed that goes inside of you with understanding into your heart. That's what Jesus is talking about. The kingdom of God is at the least seed out there, but produces the biggest tree. So I have to ask you a question. If the mustard seed is the smallest seed, it produces a great tree. If an insignificant seed produces a giant result, right? Got a mental picture? Stay with me. If the smallest seed out there produces the giant tree, how much does a big seed produce? We have been taking that verse only from the context of, oh, so you don't need a lot of faith, just the faith as the size of a mustard seed. But you don't understand, that's not really what he's talking about. And you can apply that, I guess, if you want, that it, you don't need a lot, you just need a little bit and produce big things. But if a little seed produces a big tree, how much does a big seed produce? Yeah. And when you get saved, his seed, his DNA is, don't take my word for it, challenge it this week. His DNA, are you listening? Because I'm not here to impress you. I've been preaching for over 30 years. I've done, moved past that. I'm here to see your life get better. I'm here to see you become a billboard for the goodness of God. I'm here to see you give the devil the biggest black eye he's ever seen. I'm here to see that we are in the last hour of the last days, and we are not leaving this place defeated, busted, and disgusted. You're going to be walking out of this place and into eternity one day with the goodness of God and an army of people that you've impacted. Well, I'm not called to be in full-time ministry. I didn't tell you you're called to be in full-time ministry, but that doesn't mean you can't impact people. I think it's time that we take it back to let the devil know that he's defeated, and we're not done, and we're not quitting, and we're taking that casket to Jesus, and we're saying, Lord, I need you to do something. So if a small seed produces a huge tree, how much is a bigger seed? Going back to Isaiah 55, verse 10. As a snow and rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and makes it produce. God's way, not my way. Makes it. So it takes the seed that's in existence in the earth, and it doesn't ask it. It evokes it. It says, here we go. System started. Activate. Say activate. See, I believe today some of you are going to walk out of here and you're going to know that you're different because the seed of God that's been on the inside has been activated by the Spirit of God. Some of you, it's a new revelation, but it's going to be activated. You're going to say, wait a minute, I'm seeing this different. I'm sensing there's power here. I'm noticing something change. Some of you, it's going to be a seed that's been there so long that you forgot it because you thought, oh, I used to believe and think about it that way. But the Spirit of God has a way of bringing back to your remembrance, Jesus said, and he's going to reactivate the seed that's been dormant in you, because when the rain and the snow come, it doesn't ask, it activates the seed that's been planted. What am I telling you? On the inside of you again is the DNA of God. If it's the DNA of God, then like any DNA with a transfer RNA, and it goes and duplicates and replicates, and it begins to expand. And what is happening on the inside? Starting on the inside. Everybody's looking externally in the natural. It doesn't start from the natural. It starts in the realm of the Spirit, and the realm of the Spirit for you connects by your spirit. For the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. So we got to look to the things of God on the inside. God works, the Bible says, from the inside out. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you're looking for some man to do it. God will use people, but don't look and depend on the arm of the flesh. Look to the arm of God and say, God, I know I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get in a place of peace and rest and look to your word. And because as your word's coming to me, as anointed word's coming to me, it is activating something on the inside. It's activating the DNA of God. And I'm here to tell you that darkness can't stand in the light of God. Sickness can't stand in the presence of God. Poverty can't stand. He is all sufficient. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Elohim. He is the God of all gods, the King of all kings. Beside him there is no other. And cancer must bow its knee at the name of Jesus. Be free today. Hallelujah. My ways are not your ways. Heaven waters the earth. It produces it. It forces it. Makes it to produce. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it'll accomplish that to which I please. And it will prosper in the thing to which it has been sent. You not only need to resist something, you have to invite something. Jesus rebuked the wind and he released peace into the... He released peace into... How did he release peace? He spoke peace into the water. He spoke peace into the situation. James says the... Death and life, or Proverbs says, death and life from the power of tongue. James says your life is directed by the ship of the words coming out of your mouth. Yeah. It's like kindling. You don't see it when you see it at the start, but then you see the effect and you never notice where it started from. Right. Sure. Some of us, we got fires in our life and it's because the words we've allowed to come out of our mouth. Yep. Oh, I just talking. You better be careful just talking. You don't value your word, you're not going to value God's word. But when you begin to understand that there is power, your words are like shells. Do they carry some substance to it, or are they empty shells? And when you are listening and understanding the power of God's word, you'll begin to realize that I just can't say anything and get everything. I just can't say anything and get God's everything. I have to say what God is saying, but I don't see it that way. That's because you're looking with the natural carnal eyes. That's why the Bible says, look not to the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal, because the truth and revelation of God's word has to be perceived and not seen, so that it can be seen and not just perceived. Amen. Don't ask me to repeat that again. You better write it down, otherwise I'm going to... Say, look at your notes. I don't have notes right now. I had notes. Those are pretty notes. Colorized, highlighted. Hallelujah. So the word forces, produces the result.
Yes.
She could have taken that casket and said, Lord, what are you going to do? Because I want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Jesus touched that casket and he spoke the word. Even in Revelation, when Jesus shows up in the last days on a horse to fight, the Bible says there will be a two-edged sword in his mouth. To unleash. We always think the sword should be in our hand. The sword's not in your hand. It's in your mouth. I remember one time praying about a situation. I said, Lord, it's in your hands. And I heard the Spirit say clearly, because I didn't like what he said. He said, it's not in my hands. It's in your mouth. I like to put it in his hands, because if I put it in his hands, I can just forget it. And if it doesn't work, I'll blame him. I'd rather say, well, God knows, and if he allows it, it must be that way. It's, you know, if I didn't get it, it must not be that, must not have been purpose. I'll just let whatever, kumbaya, whatever will be, it must be God's will. And that puts the blame on God. And he looks down at heaven and said, it's not on me, it's on your mouth.
Yep.
The victory's not in my hands, it's in your mouth.
Amen.
That's why the word sent into. It will prosper in that which is sent into.
Yes.
I think Jesus has me study just so he could laugh at me. Oh, you think that's a good message? Yeah. God's word works. She could have used all the different reasons because at the loss of her only son as a widow, you understand, she not only lost a son, she lost her position because in that culture, she couldn't work. It had to come from him. Her future was being devastated. Her present has been devastated and her past was just reminding her of past devastation. But when Jesus showed up, he touched the situation by the power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, he's not done touching people's lives. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, give him a praise. We're going to end with this, but I want you to give him a praise. If you're still hungry, you need to say, Lord, touch my life. Lord, I'm not done yet. Touch me, Jesus. Hallelujah. He might touch you in the car on the way to the restaurant, on the way home. You might be getting ready to fall asleep and feel the presence of God walk into your room. I've had it happen. Don't box God into even a service. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking if you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around. If you say, Pastor, I don't really know him. And the way I process and the way I experience, I don't know him, but I know about him. I know people who know him. God has no nephews and nieces. He has no grandchildren. He only has children. It's up to each and every one of us to repent and invite him and accept him as our Savior and our Lord. But the Bible says anyone who comes to him, he will no way turn you away. Regardless of your past, the blood of Jesus is able to wash you away of all your sins, cleanse you, make you free and whole again. This is your day. You don't have to live with that guilt and the torment of the enemy. Sin will devastate, sin will humiliate. But Jesus paid the price for you and I. Don't hide it. You're not controlling it. You can't manage it. You just need to repent of it. And let God do what only God can do. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not have a real relationship with Jesus and you want to give your heart to the Lord, or if you've allowed sin in your life and you know your heart's not right, and you want to give your heart back to the Lord, either way, let this prayer come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now look at me. If you prayed that prayer, I want to speak a blessing over your life. At the count of three, just so I know who I was praying with, I want you to lift your hand and say, that was me that you included in that prayer. One, two, three. If you prayed that prayer, meant business with Jesus, I want you to lift your hand. Pastor, that was me. I prayed that prayer. I see the hand. I see the hand. God bless you. I see the hand. I see the hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Keep your hands raised. I see the hand. I see the hand in my far right. Anybody else? Come on. Come on, church. You can clap longer than that. This is people getting saved. Heaven is celebrating for these people to get saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would keep your hands raised, I'm going to speak a blessing over your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone whose hands raised, we thank you. We seal them with and sanctify them with the blood of Jesus and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, according to your word. And I ask you to strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner person. Give them a boldness, a stability, a strength, that as they walk out of this place, that they'll realize that it's just not by their power alone, but it's by your power too. Enabling them to say no to sin and invite people to come to church, invite, pray with people to live for you, Lord Jesus, in a way that honors you and impacts people's lives. Touch them with your spirit, your anointing. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted,
amen.
Amen. Now, let me tell you, if you prayed that prayer and you want to let us know, Freedom, go ahead and stand up. Also, at the information across the hallway, and here, Freedom's down here. He'll stay down at the front. We have care pastors. Miss Debbie's at the information center. Freedom will stay down here. If you want to let us know, we do things a little different. We don't force people to give us their information. We're just saying we're here. Because if we spend energy and time to help you and you don't want help, it's a waste of both our time. But if you want help, we're here for you. Just let us know. And so we'll pray with you, we'll answer questions, we'll stand with you, we'll encourage you, we'll guide you if you need whatever you need. We're here for you. We're fully committed, okay? But we're not going to chase people that don't want, it's like trying to catch fish that don't want to be caught. We want to be what God wants us to be in that situation. Amen? And again, those who prayed the prayer, once again, God bless you and welcome to the family of God. Give them a hand clap.